Chapter 7 Joe Leaphorn, uneasily conscious that he was now a mere civilian, had given himself three excuses for calling on Hosteen Nez and thereby butting into police business. First, he'd come to like the old man way back when he was picking his brain in the Breedlove missing person case. Thus, going to see him while Nez was recuperating from being shot was a friendly thing to do. Second, Canyon Deshaies wasn't much out of his way, since he was going to Flagstaff anyway. Third, a trip into the canyon never failed to lift Joe Leaphorn's spirits. Lately, they had needed a lift. Most of the things he'd yearned to do when retirement allowed it had now been done, at least once. He was bored. He was lonely. The little house he and Emma had shared so many years had never recovered from the emptiness her death had left in every room. That was worse now without the job to distract him. Maybe he was oversensitive, but he felt like an intruder down at the police headquarters. When he dropped in to chat with old friends, he had often found them busy, just as he had always been. And he was a mere civilian now, no longer one of the little band of brothers. Good excuses or not, Leaphorn had been a policeman too long to go unprepared. He took his GMC Jimmy with the four-wheel drive required in the canyon both by National Park Service rules and by the uncertain bottom up Chinle Wash. He had stopped at the grocery in Ganado and bought a case of assorted soda pop flavors, 2 pounds of bacon, 1 pound of coffee, a large can of peaches, and a loaf of bread. Only then did he head for Chinle. Once there, he made another stop at the district tribal police office to make sure his visit wouldn't tread on the toes of the investigating officer. He found Sergeant Addison Deke at his desk. They chatted about family matters and mutual friends and finally got around to the shooting of Amos Nez. Deke shook his head, produced a wry grin.
"The people around here have that one all solved for us," he said. "They say old Nez was tipping us off about who was breaking into tourists' cars up on the canyon lookout points, so the burglars got mad at him and shot him."
"That makes sense," Leaphorn said, which it did, even though he could tell from Deke's face that it wasn't true.
"Nez hadn't told us a damn thing, of course," Deke said, "and when we asked him about the rumor, it pissed him off. He was insulted that his neighbors would even think such a thing."
Leaphorn chuckled. Car break-ins at several of the Navajo Nation's more popular tourist attractions were a chronic headache for the tribal police. They usually involved one or two hard-up families whose boys considered the saleable items left in tourist cars a legitimate harvest, like wild asparagus, rabbits, and sand plums. Their neighbors disapproved, but it wasn't the sort of thing one would get a boy in trouble over. Leaphorn's next stop was 0.7 miles up the rim road from the White House Ruins Overlook, the point from which the sniper had shot Nez. Leaphorn pulled his Jimmy off into the grass at the spot where Deke had told him they'd found 6 newly fired .30-06 cartridges. Here, the layer of tough igneous rock had broken into a jumble of room-sized boulders, giving the sniper a place to watch and wait out of sight from the road. He looked directly down and across the canyon floor. Nez would have been riding his horse along the track across the sandy bottom of the wash. Not a difficult shot in terms of distance for one who knew how to use a rifle, but shooting down at that angle would require some careful adjustment of the sights to avoid an overshot. Whoever shot Nez knew what he was doing. The next stop was at the Canyon Deshaies Park office on the way in. He chatted with the rangers there and picked up the local gossip. Relative to Hosteen Nez, the speculation was exactly what Leaphorn had heard from Deke. The old man had been shot because he was tipping the cops and the car break-ins. How about enemies? No one could imagine that, and they knew him well. Nez was a kindly man, a traditional, who helped his family and was generous with his neighbors. He loved jokes, always in good humor, Everybody liked him. He'd guided in the canyon for years, and he could even handle the tourists who wanted to get drunk without making them angry. Always contributed something to help out with the ceremonials when somebody was having a curing sing. How about eccentricities, gambling, grazing rights problems, any odd behavior? Well, yes. Nez's mother-in-law lived with him, which was a direct violation of the taboo against such conduct. But Nez rationalized that. He said he and old Lady Benali had been good friends for years before he'd met her daughter. They'd talked it over and decided that when the holy people taught that a son-in-law seeing his mother-in-law caused insanity, blindness, and other maladies, they meant that this happened when the two didn't like each other. Anyway, old Lady Benali was still going strong in her 90s, and Nez was not blind and didn't seem to be any crazier than anyone else. Indeed, Nez seemed to be feeling pretty good when Lee Porn found him.
"Pretty good," he said, "considering the shape I'm in."
And when Lee Porn laughed at that, he added, "But if I'd known I was going to live so damn long, I'd have taken better care of myself." Nez was sprawled in a wired-together, overstuffed recliner, his head almost against the red sandstone wall of a cul-de-sac behind his hogan. The early afternoon sun beat down upon him. Warmth radiated from the cliff behind him. The sky overhead was almost navy blue, and the air was cool and fresh, and smelled of autumn's last cutting of alfalfa hay from a field up the canyon. Nothing in the scene, except for the cast on the Nez legs and the bandages on his neck and chest, reminded Lee Porn of a hospital room. Lee Porn had introduced himself in the traditional Navajo fashion, identifying his parents and their clans. "I wonder if you remember me," he said. "I'm the policeman who talked to you three times a long time ago when the man you'd been guiding disappeared."
"Sure," Nez said. "You kept coming back, acting like you'd forgot something to ask me and then asking me everything all over again."
"Well, I was pretty forgetful."
"Glad to hear that," Nez said. "I thought you figured I was maybe lying to you a little bit, and if you asked me often enough, I'd forget and tell the truth."
This notion didn't seem to bother Nez. He motioned Lee Porn to sit on the boulder beside his chair.
"Now, you want to talk to me about who'd want to shoot me. I tell you one thing right now, it wasn't no car burglars. That's a lot of lies they're saying about me."
Lee Porn nodded. "That's right," he said. "The police at Chinle told me you weren't helping them catch those people." Nez seemed pleased at that. He nodded.
"But you know, maybe the car burglars don't know that," Lee Porn said. "Maybe they think you're telling on them."
Nez shook his head.
"No," he said. "They know better. They're my kinfolks."
"You picked a good place to get some sunshine here," Lee Porn said.
"Lots of heat off the cliff, out of the wind, and..."
Nez laughed.
"And nobody can get a shot at me here, not from the rim, anyway."
"I noticed that," Lee Porn said.
"I figured you had."
"I read the police report," Lee Porn said, and recited it to Nez.
"That about right?"
"That's it," Nez said. "The son of a bitch just kept shooting. After I sort of crawled under the horse, he hit the horse twice more."
Nez whacked his hand against the cast.
"Thump, thump."
"Sounds like he wanted to kill you," Lee Porn said.
"I thought maybe he just didn't like my horse," Nez said. "He was a pretty sorry horse, liked to bite people."
"The last time I came to see you, it was also bad news," Lee Porn said. "You think there could be any connection?"
"Connection?"
Nez said. He looked genuinely surprised.
"No, I didn't think of that."
But he thought now, staring at Lee Porn, frowning.
"Connection?" he repeated. "How could there be? What for?"
Lee Porn shrugged. "I don't know. It was just a thought. Did anybody tell you our missing man from way back then has turned up?"
"No,"
Nez said, looking delighted. I didn't know that. After a month or so, I figured he must be dead. Didn't make any sense to leave that pretty woman that way.
You were right, he was dead. We just found his bones, Leaphorn said, and watched Nez waiting for the question, but no question came.
I thought so, Nez said. Been dead a long time, too, I bet.
Probably more than 10 years, Leaphorn said.
Yeah,
Nez said. He shook his head and said,
crazy bastard,
and looked sad. Leaphorn waited.
I liked him, Nez said. He was a good man, funny, lots of jokes.
Are you going to play games with me like you did 11 years ago, or are you going to tell me what you know about this? Like why you think he was crazy and why you thought he'd been dead all this time?
I don't tell on people, Nez said. There's already plenty of trouble without that.
There won't be any more trouble for Harold Breedlove, Leaphorn said. But from the look of all those bandages, there's been some trouble for you. Nez considered that, then he considered Leaphorn.
Tell me if you found him on Shiprock, Nez said. Was he climbing Tebi Dai?
Absolutely nothing Amos Nez could have said would have surprised Leaphorn more than that. He spent a few moments recollecting his wits. That's right, he said finally. Somebody spotted his skeleton down below the peak. How the hell did you know?
Nez shrugged.
Did Breedlove tell you he was going there?
He told me.
When?
Nez hesitated again. He's dead?
Dead.
When I was guiding them, Nez said. We were way up Canyon del Muerto. His woman, Mrs. Breedlove, she'd gone up a little ways around the corner. To urinate, I guess it was. Breedlove, he'd been talking about climbing the cliff there.
He gestured upward.
You've been up there. It's straight up. Worse than that. Some places the top hangs over. I said nobody could do it. He said he could. He told me some places he'd climbed up in Colorado. He started talking then about all the things he wanted to do while he was still young, and now he was already 30 years old and he hadn't done them. And then he said...
Nez cut it off, looking at Leaphorn. I'm not a policeman anymore, he said. I'm retired, like you. I just want to know what the hell happened to the man.
Maybe I should have told you then, Nez said.
Yeah, maybe you should have, Leaphorn said. Why didn't you?
Wasn't any reason to, Nez said. He said he wasn't going to do it until spring came. Said now it was too close to winter. He said not to talk about it because his wife wanted him to stop climbing.
Did Mrs. Breedlove hear him?
She was off taking a leak, Nez said. He said he thought maybe he'd do it all by himself. Said nobody had ever done that.
Did you think he meant it? Did he sound serious?
Sounded serious, yes, but I thought he was just bragging. White men do that a lot.
He didn't say where he was going?
His wife came back then. He shut up about it.
No, I mean, did he say anything about where he was going to go that evening, after you came in out of the canyon?
I remember they had some friends coming to see them. They were going to eat together.
Not drinking, was he?
Not drinking, Nez said. I don't let my tourists drink. It's against the law.
So he said he was going to climb Tebi Dai the following spring, Leaphorn said. Is that the way you remember it?
That's what he said.
They sat a while, engulfed by sunlight, cool air, and silence. A raven planed down from the rim, circled around a cottonwood, landed on a Russian olive across the canyon floor, and perched, waiting for them to die. Nez extracted a pack of cigarettes from his shirt, offered one to Leaphorn, and lit one for himself.
Like to smoke while I'm thinking, he said.
I used to do that, too, Leaphorn said. But my wife talked me into quitting.
They'll do that if you're not careful, Nez said.
Thinking about what?
Thinking about why he told me that. You know, maybe he figured I'd say something and his woman would hear it and stop him.
Nez exhaled a cloud of blue smoke.
And he wanted somebody to stop him. Or when spring came and he slipped off to climb it by himself, he thought maybe he'd fall off and get killed, and if nobody knew where he was, nobody would find his body. And he didn't want to be up there dead and all alone.
And you think he figured you'd hear about him disappearing and you'd tell people where to find him? Leaporn asked.
Maybe,
Nez said and shrugged. It didn't work.
Because he was already missing, Nez said. Where was he all those months between when he goes away from his wife here and when he climbed our rock with wings?
Leaporn grinned. That's what I was hoping you'd know something about. Did he say anything that gave you ideas about where he was going after he left here? Who he was meeting? Nez shook his head.
That's a long time to stay away from that good woman, Nez said. Way too long, I think. I guess you policemen haven't found out where he was?
No, Leaporn said. We don't have the slightest idea.